The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing deep to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study this morning in the doctrine of love. We're on page 8 of our notes. Local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment with this academic setting that is established for believers and their assembly to undergo the dissemination and the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life. This is all done through the GAP system, the grace apparatus perception, that is via filling the God, the Holy Spirit. The believer priest is under one of two rulerships in life, either their sin nature, the flesh, through personal sin of life, or overruling that and applying rebound, 1 John 1:9, and engaging under filling God, the Holy Spirit, placing him in rulership over life, hence being in a state of spirituality and ability to therefore understand God's plan clearly, precisely, and to also serve God in action with honor. So it behooves each and every one of us to once again redeem the time this morning to make sure that we're in fellowship, which I'll give you an opportunity to do so as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for your immutability, your faithfulness, your veracity, that you are absolute truth and there is no lie in you. We ask once again this morning that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth of your words so that we too can reprogram our minds with the mind of Christ and think as you so designed and intended for men to think in this respect. All in Jesus' name, amen. All right. The principle of love, again, misunderstood, abused as all aspects of Scripture at some level generally are by the cosmos. With believers being maladjusted just as much, if not more so sometimes, than even the cosmos regards to these things. But the Scripture makes very clear that there is three types or ways that one can love, apart from the sexual connotation, sexual love. There is love that is expressed based on the attributes of the one expressing the love, and then in turn there is love that is based on the attributes of whom one loves in turn. And obviously when love is applied in this regard with respect to God, it is divine in nature. We as believers are to emulate God in regards to our love and expression of it. It begins with the highest form of love, and that is to employ the attributes that are given us through the salvation adjustment to the justice of God, that is God the Holy Spirit and the truth of Bible doctrine and application towards others in this respect. We are commanded to have this kind of love towards all, including our enemies. The friendship, affectionate type of love, we're not commanded to have, but obviously we should also imitate God in that respect. And that is, God doesn't pick every Tom, Dick, and Harry believer to be his friend. That person, male or female, must meet the qualities, qualifications in regards to God to consider them his friend. And that is, they are phase two positive, such as Abraham and other examples we have in the Scriptures in this respect. And positive volition is evidence, and part of this characteristic is seen in the fact that it loves Bible doctrine, God's Word. That was Roman numeral 7. All the reminders and encouragements and exhortations that came out of that point. To be positive denotes an affection, a desire to know and seek God. to know His Word clearly and to employ it in regards to one's thinking, in their speech, and in their application in regards to their life. One's attitude towards Bible doctrine, obviously this is apropos in regards to their willingness to assemble in regards to hearing the teaching of the doctrine. All these things are evidence in regards to true postulation. People give lip service in regards to how much they love God, that they're positive, etc. Well, the evidence is first and foremost seen in regards to their continuation or lack of in regards to seeking God's Word and understanding it at the very depth and level necessary to do God's will for their life adequately before God in action with honor. And in that vein, Roman numeral 8, where we left off, we see here and take the principle of love and apply it to the gap principle, the grace apparatus of perception, which is simply the dissemination and assimilation of Bible doctrine in fellowship under the filling of God the Holy Spirit. And these two things go hand in hand. Gap is characterized as an expression of love, first and foremost, from the pastor teacher who says they love God. Their responsibility is evident, and their orientation is evident in regards to their willingness to feed their congregation. As Jesus questioned Peter if he loved him, and he kept emphasizing Christ did to Peter in Peter's affirmation, keep feeding my sheep, tend my lambs, etc. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's affectional love or not. One must apply agape love in that vein in order for the love to be made complete and for the dissemination of doctrine to otherwise honor God and meet His designed impact and result in regards to the positive soul in time who is in fellowship and wants to understand the truth. It's not just getting up in 3 points in a poem, emoting, and things of this nature. It is the exact correct articulation in the purest of forms in regards to the truth of Bible doctrine. That is feeding the sheep. It is a well-rounded diet, Bible doctrine. It's not just sugar-coated things that otherwise you get too much of, you get sick of. And it makes you physically sick in many cases. We are to take doctrine and to apply it, seeking the entire counsel, which still the best way I know to do so is through our very process of word for word, verse by verse teaching, understanding and knowing the context of what is being taught, as well as proper exegesis in regards to the interpretation of those things and verses at hand in that respect. So, love of the pastor teacher for God is exemplified in regards to the doctrine that he disseminates in regards to those allotted to his charge. So, B, love for God in and of itself, then, is to keep his commandments. It's not just some affectionate, maudlin', syrupy, emotional expression in regards to love. It is the serious commitment in regards to the doctrine that is assimilated by the individual believer in application in regards to their lives. Christ Himself made it very clear that those who love Him keep His words and do them. That means that you don't leave doctrine at the door. You implement it in regards to your very modus operandi and vivendi of life, method of operation and manner of life, across the board in that respect. And Yahweh made it very clear to Israel, to the Jews, that as long as they would obey the law, keep the law, he would bless them. Otherwise, they could expect repercussions on a non-pleasant form in the form of national and divine discipline in regards to their lives in that respect. So, see, this is where we left off. The Holy Spirit, in His role in GAP, broadcasts the knowledge of God's love for us in our hearts. We are told to test the spirits, how you're able to test the spirits, the teaching of doctrine, is by yourself getting in fellowship, being under the filling of God the Holy Spirit. He is the ultimate transmitter in the communication of God's Word to the human spirit and the soul of the individual that is listening to the teaching. In this way, obviously, while His divine design calls upon a human communicator to communicate these things, the likeness of communication and assimilation of it is seen in the both parties being in fellowship in regards to the articulation of the truth and understanding of it and gapping it otherwise in this vein. And the Holy Spirit and His role, if you will, takes precedence in regards to those things that are communicated. While, again, God's plan calls for a human communicator in regards to doctrine, that's how God deals and works with doctrine in that respect. Each of you have the protection of God, the Holy Spirit, otherwise in regards to the assimilation of it. And that is obviously if you're in fellowship. If you're not in fellowship, then you do not have that protection. If you're leading with your SGA, etc. And obviously, the pastor gives you the evidence regards to the scriptures and all these other things showing the evidence of him being in fellowship in his studies. And hence, you see that, and God the Holy Spirit commends the truth then to your soul, to your human spirit. And it is an ultimate protection. Obviously, when a pastor teaches sound doctrine for a number of years and he goes off the way in a drastic form, the sheep who have been taught in such a precise, clear manner are going to become very much aware that something is out of whack in regards to the teaching. As it's all protection for each of us, see, to maintain the fidelity of God's Word. To teach those under your charge as a communicator with sound doctrine. And therefore, in times of weakness otherwise, maybe for the pastor, those who are strong in the faith can arise to the occasion in forms of encouragement, exhortation, things of this nature. But the Holy Spirit has a distinct role. He is the ultimate author of Scripture through inspiration. And the Holy Spirit ultimately translates, if you will, for our soul, the information in regards to being the truth of doctrine and us assimilating it and having a clear understanding. Verse 1, chapter 5, therefore, Paul says, having been justified by faith, we have phase 1 reconciliation, that is, phase 1 justification has been dealt with here, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith. This is how you enter into God's plan, is through a system of faith. And faith must be maintained and sustained in regards to one's Christian life, into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. That looks to the promises of eternal reward for those who will sustain that faith under, as we would say, phase 2 positive volition. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, our tests, our common human problems in life. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, recognizing the importance of tests to evaluate, critique our mettle, if you will, in regards to our commitment to Bible doctrine and perseverance. And perseverance, then, all these things has a domino effect in the maturity, advanced matriculation, perseverance, proving character. It will be obvious in the application of the individual while the person's personality obviously remains the same, etc. Their actions change because now it is aligned with Bible doctrine versus following the human viewpoint approach to God's plan earlier. And it shows now doctrinal character. Character that is supported by, if you will, the good conscience. And proven character, hope, that hope is not one of wishful thinking. It is one of total expectation of the promises of God's Word bestowed upon us in the Scriptures. And hope does not disappoint. Ultimately, we draw that confidence with regards to our faith and in the truth of Bible doctrine, and that God will fulfill His Word, every iota of it. And therefore, there is no disappointment. And this type of faith is supported by and reinforced through the filling of God the Holy Spirit who indwells all believers, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The difference between listening to the Bible being taught or read in fellowship versus out of fellowship under the flesh, under the natural man who does not understand these things and will not have the benefit of all these spiritual assets that are otherwise provided for them as believers in that respect. So, God the Holy Spirit is given to us for this very purpose. It is an expression in regards to our love to His ministry towards God in this vein. So D, the love of Christ for the believer then is comprehended under the grace apparatus perception, gap, to truly understand what true love is. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Paul proclaims here to the church at Ephesus, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father," in a form of honor, in prayer, a thanksgiving, "from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." God's hand is in everything of history, including the very lives of humanity that He has created. "That He would grant," this is Paul's wish for the believers, verse 16, "that He would grant you," who is you, the positive believers at Ephesus, "according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man." The inner man is nothing less than the human spirit, also referred to as the new man, the product of regeneration, of the new birth, which gives us spiritual life that we were void of in our pre-salvation days under spiritual death. And our strengthening in time and in life is through this spiritual apparatus, an asset that is given to us. And it's only activated when one is filled with God, the Holy Spirit, in the experiential realm of the Christian life. And verses 17, "for the purpose so that Christ may dwell in your hearts." That's John's way of saying Christ in you, or Christ Himself, I in you. That's Bible doctrine. In your hearts, the hearts there is a catch-all regards to the positive volition, human spirit, all the assets and thinking, mind, etc., comprehending the truth of Bible doctrine as is so designed in this system through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, that is divine love. Divine love that was made possible for all men under unlimited atonement to have these assets if they so choose to engage their faith in that direction. 18, "may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth." That looks at the entire council of doctrine. "And to know the love of Christ," verse 19, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. The love of Christ is seen in His prayer to the Father for the Comforter to be given to us in the church age in this fashion. That's God the Holy Spirit. He is the ultimate Comforter in His role in regards to Bible doctrine as it's implemented in regards to the believer. And then Colossians 2, 2 and 3. Verse 1, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, one of the seven churches mentioned in Revelation, and for all those who have not personally seen my face. Paul, in his itinerary, was not able to be at any particular church at any given time. New face of his show. They hear, they know, they heard his teaching, etc. through others. So he is addressing all. Verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. Again, that's divine love. The binding of believers in their camaraderie or brotherhood or friendship as a local church is through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in His filling role and an application towards one another. This is what brings believers together in this sphere of love. And obtaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, continue verse 2, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself. To understand the person of Jesus Christ to the depth possible is only made available through Bible doctrine and under the system of GAP, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Sticking with the studies in regards to the Scripture, not getting distracted in regards to all that the cosmos has out there to distract us with, but to let the divine viewpoint guide us and direct us in all things. And that is the mind of Christ, as the Scripture is so defined in this respect, and to find these valuable things that obviously will reflect their actual value at the Bema Seat in our phase 3 is the desire and goal and drive of positive adjusted believers. So there is a sense of love that is part of the local church, the local body of Christ, in their affiliation with one another. And all this is made possible and held together in like-mindedness in regards to the truth of doctrine in this vein and application of it. In that regard, so GAP gives us the discernment so our love applications may abound to apply doctrine at the highest levels of our life, and to not let our Christian lives suffer through a cavalier attitude lessening our application of doctrine, but for the application to multiply, to abound in an ongoing process throughout our lives. Philippians 1, 9. And this I pray, obviously a prayer for any adjusted communicator for their sheep, that your love, that's divine love, That's the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, and application of Bible doctrine. Bound still more, even whatever high level it may have attained to at the present, to continue to take doctrine and implement it throughout our lives. There is a multiplication factor that builds up over time. And it definitely at least implies that we are not to become lackadaisical in regards to our pursuit of doctrine and application of it in our lives, that our love is to abound still more and more. That's pretty strong language. It is a rally cry, if you will, the coach to the athletes to hang in there. And you can persevere, and you can apply even more and more to not become soul weary, to soul faint in regards to one's life. And all this is to be done, verse 9, in the sphere of real knowledge and all discernment. Real knowledge compares divine viewpoint with the human viewpoint of the world. Discernment looks at the applicable application of doctrine in is well-balanced understanding and approach in regards to one's life. A lot of people engage in a lot of actions out there, but is it in the sphere of real knowledge? Or is it simply SVA pursuits, human viewpoint pursuits out of step with the truth of doctrine? If it is, it's acting without honor. They're simply spinning their wheels in regards to their phase 3 potential. You're better off to apply correctly in a few ways than to spend the rest of your life 24-hour, 7 days a week applying out of fellowship and erroneously. How many people are going to be at the payment seat and they've truly committed their lives but is out of step with doctrine? They ran under their SCAs even though they were a member of a church or whatever. They didn't understand the proper principles and didn't apply it. And all this commitment, all this effort, and they have nothing to show for it except for a big bonfire. And we'll all bring our marshmallows. So. Obviously, we encourage more than just a few applications. But the principle still stands. Versus, you know, the person that maybe actually got hooked into doctrine for a short period of time and actually got some divine good out of their life. And the rest of the time they were hellraisers or whatever else. It's going to be a real eye-opener, the Bema Seat is, among believers. Obviously, we'll all be reprogrammed with the entire council doctrine. Everyone will comprehend purely exactly the ramifications of all of it. So F, capacity for and acclimation to the dictates of love, produce unity in the local body and maximum production, and SG3, maximum divine good production, and surpassing grace, phase 3. Colossians 3:12-17. All this under the principle of love. And the funnies just think, well, you just go out there and do all these things as long as you have an affection for others around them, you know, then they're fulfilling God's plan for their life. How little do they know? Colossians 3:12-17. And so, as those who have been chosen of God under the doctrine of election and calling, in anticipation of God knowing who would be positive, etc., and making provision that Bible doctrine would be available to them in time sufficiently to serve their positive volition. That is quite a comfort to know that God does that. He's not going to let anybody fall through the cracks. See, positive volition in that respect. And so those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, set apart for the purpose of God, and beloved by God, put on a heart that is a demeanor, one's demeanor, that comes from your thinking. Even in regards to employment of emotions appropriately, put on a heart of compassion. This is how we are to interact with each other. Kindness, humility, not to be arrogant, think too highly of oneself, gentleness and patience as forbearance towards one another, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, learning to get along. Demands at least civility with one another. And whoever has a complaint against anyone, as offenses will come, we all have an FCA. A lot of times, if not most of the time, probably offenses are really unintentional. But they may be intentional. It doesn't make any difference. But we are to learn doctrine, and we are employed towards one another, that we can reside as a royal family in peace and harmony. We're not divisive. Division comes from people holding to wrong doctrine and unwilling to isolate their sin nature otherwise, to stay in fellowship, and to adhere to the teaching. And in that way, then, one is will be adequately grace-oriented towards another. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And then verse 14. And in addition, literally, all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. If love is violated, then the unity is fractured. If people are running under their sin nature, not in like-mindedness with the truth, then unity is fractured. The relationship suffers. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, verse 15, to which indeed you were called in one body, recognizing we're in the boat together, see. We have, hopefully, the same spiritual ambition to make the maturity adjustment and hold to the end. And to maximize regards to our SG3. And be thankful. Instead of moaning and groaning about things, get your attitude right. Overrule the sin nature. And look to those things that God has provided otherwise as your source of encouragement, rather than relying on your own energy of the flesh and other things around you in that respect. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell with you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Making sure that the singing, obviously, when done appropriately, is doctrinally oriented, not out of step with doctrine. When we sing, it's not so much the music, even though that adds to it, obviously, that we are to concentrate on, but it's the content of the song. Not this crap you hear out there assaulting our ears all the time in the radio, etc. But words that are divinely inspired, in his content. Seeing him with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. G. the prayer for the royal family is multiplication of love, which comes through the grace apparatus of perception, through the continued assimilation of the divine viewpoint. Jude 2. May mercy and peace and love, all these things, be multiplied to you to be made available in spades. See. And this is all made possible through one's continued commitment to pursuit of Bible doctrine in regards to their lives and applying it according to the divine design. And that should be the prayer for each and every one of us. Mercy, how often do we need that? Every time we rebound, we're appealing to God's mercy. See, peace is inner peace. A contentment of soul is inner peace. To truly be content in your soul. Being at peace with God, as we might say. And then love is divine love in regards to its expression as a believer. Roman numeral 9. Love is a characteristic of the filling of the Holy Spirit. It is part of the results and benefits of being in fellowship. And it's expressed in the commands to walk in love, abide in love, and then put on love. Ephesians 5:2. To walk in love is to perform one's Phase 2 service under the filling of God the Holy Spirit in application of doctrine. It is the path and course of life, of our Christian life that we have chosen. And walk in love just as Christ also loved you. He obviously loved us with plus R. So we must have that asset, that attribute in place. And that only comes through the filling of God the Holy Spirit experientially for the believer. And then willingness to sacrifice on behalf of others in our own orientation and application of doctrine as a body, and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice of God as a fragrant aroma. Abide in love. Again, that's in John's writing, becomes technical for being in fellowship, being under the filling of the Holy Spirit. It looks at experiential residence. The temple you want to live in is one that is filled with God the Holy Spirit. That's your, the temple being your body. So, John 15:10. And a central ingredient is application of the doctrine. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Fulfill Bible doctrine in your life, beginning with rebound and other pertinent applications, therefore. Then the certainty, future certainty of it, is that you will abide in the sphere of love as God has so designed it, in his divine nature, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Christ and Father had consistent communion, total and complete fellowship. And that's because Jesus Christ was completely and totally obedient to every imperative placed upon him by the Scriptures. And then put on love. That's Colossians 3:14. As we read earlier, addition to these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. How do you put on love? Get in fellowship, apply doctrine. Dress yourself accordingly. See, is the idea. Wear the garments of God's righteousness in application to doctrine, in isolation of the sin nature. Roman numeral 10, regeneration, the new birth. We are all born again when we exercise faith in Christ for salvation phase 1. And hence, our human spirit is regenerated. The human spirit, that which we lost at the fall of the garden through our corporate parents, Adam and Eve. And regeneration is the catalyst for divine love, is what makes divine love possible. 1 Peter 1:22. 23. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a genuine love of the brothers. Bible doctrine cleanses. It exposes the dirt of our STA in our life. And you see dirt, you wash it off the extremity. The bath is used to emphasize salvation phase 1. Rebound is washing the feet, the foot washing scenario that Christ put Peter through in emulation. For a genuine or sincere love of the brothers, fervently love one another from the heart, that it's not just some facade, some put on, or some other STA driven reason. And all this is made possible, verse 23, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and abiding word of God. And that comes in the form of the human spirit, and our doctrine of the human spirit, which is generated, regenerated in truth, in righteousness, and in loyalty to the truth. See. So only the believer can apply divine love, and then only the believer willing to be under the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, is applying divine love. All right, Roman numeral 11 here. This deals with 1 Corinthians 13, where we see love used in a technical sense for the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, apart from which there is no divine good production. In principle, it teaches that aspect of divine love. The filling of the Holy Spirit, then divine good production is a result when it's in truth of the word, in line with the truth. 1 Corinthians 13, again, a chapter grossly misunderstood by believers, Christians, abused, all kinds of weird interpretations that come out of it. In verses 1 through 3, first we have point A, five hypothetical statements are used to show the foolishness of great service, insight, and sacrifice apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Paul states, if I speak, if it's a third-class condition, maybe yes, maybe no. It's always the believer's choice, get in fellowship or not. And to make these applications appropriately or not. And he says, if I speak with the tongues of men, which tongues is a bona fide foreign language supernaturally bestowed upon the early church for the purpose, primary purpose of evangelizing others outside their periphery. As we've been through all this, and the doctrine of spiritual gifts. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, all recordings of the tongues of angels in the Bible is in the language of men. As the holy rollers will try to throw that at you. Tongues of angels. Well, show me a tongue of angel in there that men didn't understand when they talked to him. That looks at the clarity of communication as a messenger, as a super being created by God to communicate or speak, if you will, even at the highest levels. But do not have love. All this is omits love. That's divine love. That is the omission of God the Holy Spirit in His role, filling role in regards to the application made. And he compares himself in the second part of the verse, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. That's before God. It's just an irritating noise. Ever been around a kid that doesn't know how to play the drums or whatever? Good grief. What parent was bought them that instrument to begin with, or the cymbals? It's just gets on your nerves. Well, those things are pictured like gets on God's nerves. People that try to imitate Christianity with their form of religiosity and abuse of interpretation and understanding of these things. And in verse 2, and in the second one, and if I had the gift of prophecy, the ability to proclaim things otherwise not able to naturally be known apart from, if you will, divine intervention, doctrine or future events, whatever it may be. So if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, in other words, he had the ability to foresee every aspect of the future, of the history of mankind and God's history. I mean, he's put it to that extent. How great would that be? I mean, that obviously excels beyond almost comprehension to be able to do that. He says, and if I have all faith, this again appeals to the temporary gift of faith in regards to passive faith and emulating it and disseminating it in regards to the church so as to remove mountains in an active sense, but do not have love, I am nothing. To have that kind of power of accepting even Bible doctrine. But you do that out of fellowship. He says, I have nothing. He says, I am nothing. I do not have love. Verse 3, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, the human... humanitarian approach to life, which Christians are consistently involved in. And if I deliver my body to be burned in a form of martyrdom or sacrifice, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. No matter how it may be to those around them in the world, when it comes down to SG3, the fire will continue. If that's the way you left out of this world, wouldn't that be ironic? How did you get martyred out of here? Well, they burned me at the stake. Okay, let's see what that translates to. Flame on, there goes your human good right up the deal because you are out of fellowship. You are not following God's plan in all of this. So there's your hypothetical questions. So be then in verses 4 through 7, Paul describes the characteristics of the filling of the Holy Spirit both in positive and negative terms. So after giving the contrasting effects of doing great things but out of fellowship, then he gives the evidence of what it means to be in fellowship and how one can critique otherwise that they are being led by God the Holy Spirit. And it's not just worthless things that one's engaged in, human good. Verse 4, love is patient, first and foremost. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It remains in a state of humility when one allows the filling of God the Holy Spirit to rule their life. Does not act unbecomingly, inappropriately. It does not seek its own. It's not a narcissistic in an effect. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Obviously, the forbearing towards one another. Willing to forgive. Other aspects we see in other verses as part of God the Holy Spirit's ministry. Does not rejoice, verse 6, in unrighteousness. Anything that is not aligned with the truth of Bible doctrine, that is part of the sin nature, human viewpoint, agenda of Satan's world, is unrighteous. In disobedience regards to God's plan, the truth of His Word, it does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bible doctrine is that which provides this emotional stimulation of happiness. And verse 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's looking at the entire counsel and accepting it and committing to it in regard to one's Christian life. Not throwing out doctrine here and there. See, he believes all things because it doesn't fit your little human viewpoint, sacred cow agenda, etc. You embrace the doctrine in total expectation as God intended in fulfillment of it. And then you're willing to endure whatever we may face in life, in tests, etc., in order to stay the course, to hold to the end. See, all these things. This all comes through the principle of appropriate love, divine love, a filling of the Holy Spirit, coupled with application of Bible doctrine in one's life. It produces these things when it's coupled with positive volition. See. So see, then in verses 8 through 12, Paul explains that the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is love, will continue long after temporary gifts have ceased. And these verses recognize that certain spiritual gifts that were given to the early church were temporary in nature. There were gifts that were given that were designed to be extant and to carry the church throughout the bulk of the church age. But many of the supernatural gifts, to not discredit the supernatural nature of gap and things of this nature anyway, in the permanent gifts. But like healing and the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, was to get the church off the ground in its infancy state. And believers don't understand that. So they're confused and they get wrapped up in things that are erroneous. And in spite of that, what's really important is the filling of the Holy Spirit and application of the doctrine under divine love that supersedes the experience, the Christian experience otherwise, as a believer. Love never fails, verse 8. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. He shows this in contrast. If there are tongues, they will cease. Those two words show different a nuance. Done away is temporarily set aside. Cease means it will abruptly stop forever. Prophecy will once again, that gift will come and be employed and part of believers' lives in the tribulational period going into the second advent. Tongues will not. It won't be necessary. Just take your computer with you and you can know what people are saying. That's just one of those cool things. And he goes on, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. The gift of prophecy, the dissemination of doctrine doesn't come all in one setting. And bits and pieces of the New Testament canon, etc., in the early church was being taught, and they had to learn and grow in that fashion, just like we do today. We don't learn all doctrine in one Bible class. It's a life endeavor. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Once the New Testament canon of Scripture, the directive will of God, is completed, then these temporary gifts that otherwise filled in the gap before the Bible was, New Testament was written, will no longer be necessary. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. There he's looking at the matriculation, maturity of the church after decades of existence. From its infancy state during the apostolic period till the completion of the apostolic period, and then going into this more mature role throughout the rest of history. For now we see in the mirror dimly, the mirror being the Word of God, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but now I shall know fully, just as I have also been fully known. All right, well, let's take our break.